Blog Talk Radio.
Ripley too.
All right, looks like we're going. We're actually back in the home studio. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for the home studio. Back in the saddle again.
Thank you, Lord.
Ah, that's a wonderful picture.
My son brought it and turned it into a puzzle. And that was years ago. One of the times, Joy let me hug him.
I love it.
It says, a boy's best friend is his mother.
So, amen.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, that was sweet. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Okay. I'm going to stop myself. My hair is a mess.
All right. Well, I think we're ready to get started. Got a good word tonight. We've even got some new folks with us tonight. We welcome you. Brother Chris Dennis, glad to have you. Brother Michael Carr, glad to have you. We got the young generation represented tonight.
Amen.
I like it when that happens. Mm-hmm. And we've got the senior generation represented tonight. I like it when that happens. Mm-hmm. And then all the rest of us in between. I'm just only halfway through life, so.
Yep.
I'm going to say that differently. Just hit me. I'm halfway through what would be some people think a normal life on Earth. I'm not halfway through what would be eternity. We're not even taking a breath yet for eternity. But, so welcome. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Blog Talk Radio is with us. All of our friends with us around the world on Blog Talk Radio, we're glad to have you with us tonight. And we got a great message, 2 boatloads of fish. All things are possible to them that believe.
And we believe.
All things are possible to them that believe. And we believe. And we're going to talk about 2 boatloads of fish, one before the cross and one after. So it's going to be a good night, and we're glad to have you all with us. Now, let's get right to our confession and our prayer time like we would normally have. Whoops.
It's so nice to have my second screen up again, too. So much less jumping around.
Don't you just hate it when you click on the wrong icon and it opens up the wrong thing?
I do. It takes it completely out of there.
Like, no. That is just not what we was looking for at all. So thanks for all your prayers. You know, when we got up here, wow, there's a lot of snow here. Now, it's a bunch of snow melted today.
Yeah.
And they looks like they did finally get the roads cleared around like they're supposed to be. But, you know, one of the interesting things that happens here in Williston is that people, or the road commission, plows the snow back out on the road and then lets everybody run over it.
Yeah,
and then it melts and then it runs down in the ditch and they spread more back out on the road. So until all the snow's gone, they're going to spread it back out on the road. And then we'll run over it, and then it'll melt, and then they'll spread some more out, and then it'll melt. And thank God for it. Amen?
Amen.
So now, we got this ready. We got this ready. There we go.
We like ice mountain water. That's what we drink,
no.
too.
Share the screen. That's what we got to get. There we go. There we go. Now that's shared. That's there. Stop the video. All right. There we go. I will figure out how to get this into somebody else's hands so that more than one of us can do this.
Dan and Gwen
Dan and Gwen did a good job last night and then again today at noon.
Yeah, yeah.
And we really seriously appreciate that, all your effort in that.
We completely figured out how to mobile Zoom us.
Just so everybody knows. Bongos are very close and available. If you will, rise together with me. We'll make our pledge of allegiance. Here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who paid the last full measure of devotion, those who in their lifetime carry the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every one of the families of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived or service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. And now let's make our prayer, opening prayer, and moments of confessions, praying over the church, the body of Christ, and over you and me, the community of faith. Are you ready? Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever, and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. And now, let's speak our theme of the year for 2022. 2022, I am rewarding you. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. You will see many answers that come to you quickly. I am the God of answers and the God of the immediately. Revelation 22, 12 through 14. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And now, the April verse of the month. There is great reward in walking in the word. Psalm 19:11. Moreover, by the word, your servant is warned, and in keeping the word, there is great reward. And now, let's say our verses of the month in the beginning of the year. Here we go. January, verse of the month. I am your exceeding great reward. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. February, I am performing the exceedingly. Take your focus off of just the naturally. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him, able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. March, our Father promises us a future, a hope, and a sure reward. Proverbs 24:14. Know that skillful and godly wisdom is so very good for your life and soul. If you find wisdom, then there will be a future and a reward. Your hope and expectation will not be cut off. And now, the commanded blessing of unity. I love this. Say it with me. Lord, command a blessing on me.
Lord, command a blessing on me.
I like that. I like it. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. And now we'll move to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to talk about the body of Christ, Jesus' grace gift inside of us, and the fivefold ministry all working together. Father, on this Wednesday night, Tuesday night, what is today? Tuesday. On this Tuesday night, all across America and around the world, may every Bible study be blessed with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
even in those churches where they no longer welcome the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, move in a mighty way.
Amen.
Here we go. There is
one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord,
one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then Christ's gift came, and that was the fivefold ministry. Aren't you glad Jesus gave himself?
Amen.
Here we go. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God in our lives every day. Say it with me again. Father, fill me with all your fullness. I hunger and thirst for righteousness in Jesus' mighty name. And I love it. Righteousness is on the inside of me because I received Jesus.
Amen. You write that in.
It's quite a revelation. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you able to let him in?
Yeah.
All right. Ephesians chapter 4. So that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, this last line is the most important part of it. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen,
amen.
And amen. We join the voices. Every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. May God bless America. You know, there's a lot of people that believe in this great nation that we live in, but they don't ever speak anything about it. If you ask them, they'll say, oh yeah, I'm patriotic. I fly my flag. But they don't ever, out of their mouth, make a statement about God bless America or America's going to make it. They're just patriotic inside their heart. But what makes America great is all of us who love her open our mouth and proclaim it. America's the greatest nation on the face of the earth.
Amen.
America's greatest attribute will be her righteousness. God exalts this nation because we're righteous. And it's when you and I begin to speak our mind and we speak with our words like I'm leading us by the Holy Spirit, that things begin to change in this great nation. Here we go. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion, we highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation
under God is experiencing
a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And amen and amen. Now, let's make this one. I'm just being led by the Holy Spirit. That's all right, isn't it?
It is. It's good. Speaking the word.
We know the truth. We believe the truth and speak the truth. We are one with God and bring the gospel of peace to our neighborhood. We are skilled in the word of righteousness, repossessing what is ours and what is Christ. We occupy until the Lord returns, and we are dominating in our true identity and one with Christ. We are fulfilling God's will, plan, and purpose
for
our lives, body of Christ. We believe, we speak, and we manifest God's covenant and promises as sons of God and partakers of his divine nature. We keep and bring our bodies into subjection. We refuse to be dominated by our emotions, fleshly appetites, our environment, or memories or traumas of the past. I really like this confession. You ready? We forgive everyone who has ever offended us, hurt us, betrayed us, deceived us, stolen from us, lied about us, abused us, come against us, our ancestors, or our descendants in any way. We drop the charges now. According to Isaiah 54:17, we condemn every word that has ever been spoken against our lives, against me or my family, even my own words of confusion or pain or trauma. We declare all of those words fall powerless now. According to the word of God, in the courtroom of heaven, I make a legal demand against the enemy for disturbing my peace and interrupting the assignment I was given by God at my conception. The thief must repay seven times and double for any shame it has caused in my life as a believer.
Thank you, Lord.
You execute righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen and amen and amen. We take, I'll give us just a second. Number nine. We take our places as the Lord's house, established in the top of every mountain of influence. And we now repossess every nation and kingdom, every land and all wealth to the uttermost part of the earth for the glory of God. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We establish the culture of the kingdom of God and drive out every enemy and adversary opposing God's people. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Can somebody say a big amen?
A big amen.
A big amen.
A big amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, let me get everything back here. Anything I need to know from the comments, Lum?
No.
Our water table is very much up here. Thank you, Lord, for that.
Yeah.
Why is there so many that want to come here?
Rebecca, okay.
Yeah, that's right. If America's bad, why do so many people want to come here? Amen,
yeah,
Rod.
Amen.
Amen. Now, here we go. Welcome, Audrey, Dan, Kathy, Rebecca. We got a good group of folks with us tonight.
Yeah.
Good to see all of you. Roger and Brother Michael Barr, welcome. Audrey Van Gessel, good to have you with us tonight. Mary Pasterick, good to have you. Chris Dennis, glad to have you with us tonight. I am asking God for wisdom, how that each of us, that we can reach each different interest group that's with us, how we reach every age group that's with us, because I want to reach everybody that comes to this program from in the womb to in the tomb. Why? Because God wants us to reach everybody that's with us. Amen? Those of you that's with us, make sure you click like or love or something on the Facebook page so we can see your name. And then we will pray for you by name when this program is finished. And we're glad to have you with us. We truly are. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's see here. What's next? We haven't talked about tithe or offering in a while. And so I want to talk about that for a little bit just to encourage you and remind you. Some of you are new. You don't realize this, but if you're looking for a good church, stop. You found one right here. It's a good church. And we've had a lot of people come and be a part of us, and then some of them have moved on to a different place or a better place, or their church opened back up or something, and they went back there. But we encourage you, if you're looking for a good church, this is a good church. And
great group of believers.
Great group of believers. We got word. The word happens 7 days a week here on this on our programs, so that you're never going to spend a day where you're not going to have something to study. And you know, we got 2 years worth of nightly videos that's available online, And you guys, this is what I need. I need you to help me, and I'm going to help you. And we're going to gather all of this information we have, and we're going to get it on a website that is absolutely cutting edge, crystal clear, very sharp, very effective, so that no matter what somebody's looking for, when they come to the website, they go away with a message that can radically change their lives forever.
Amen.
God has given us a powerful word. We love to speak it, and we have lots of videos already there so that anybody can be able to grow, develop, and be established in the things of God in Jesus' mighty name. Now, everybody turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. I'm not necessarily taking an offering. I don't like that word. I've never liked that offering, that word. But in the King James Version, they use that when God told Moses, take an offering from the people. All right? But that's King James. And my place is never to be seen as taking anything from you.
Right.
So don't worry about it. I'm just coming to a new level of God in my understanding. But I, you know what? All of our Christian life is learning how to use the right words.
Right.
And so tonight I'm going to be talking about receiving any seed you sow. All right. But let's just read this to remind ourselves once again what the Bible said. Malachi chapter 3, let's go to verse number 8. And we'll read down through verse number 12. Brother Michael, are you where you can read? Here we go. Will a man rob God? Question mark. Obviously, they said no. And God said, yet you have robbed me. But you say, and how, in what way have we robbed you? And he said, in tithes and offerings. And you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10. Verse number, we're in. Hold on just a second.
Sorry.
Here comes YouTube. They're live with us. Good to have you with us tonight, YouTube. Now watch this. We're in Malachi chapter 3, and we're in verse number 10. God said to the children of Israel in that day, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then verse 10, he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this. If I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that you will not have enough room to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. You can't leave any of those verses out. You got to read the whole thing because you got to keep it in context. God was not after the children of Israel because they didn't give him any money. They were after him because he was after him because they quit worshiping him even when they did have money and they bring him. Now, he told them, you're robbing me because you're not bringing your tithe and offering. Now, in that day, he said, you're cursed with a curse. Jesus hung on the tree so that we could be delivered from the curse of law. So you and I aren't underneath the curse, but I got a word for you. There you go. That's good. That's good. I got a word for you. You're not enjoying the blessing to the degree that you could be, because it opens up the door of the blessing when we worship the Lord with our tithe and offering.
Yes.
And remember this. It doesn't matter whether you worship God with a $2 tithe or a $2 million tithe. God's not about the money as much as he's about the worship.
Yeah.
And the fact that you realize, wait, this isn't belong to me. This belongs to you. I'm bringing back to you what belongs to you. And that is your act of worship and mine. It's not a bill you pay. It's a worship that you give. Even Adam and Eve in the garden had a tithe to give. What was it? You can eat of all the trees of the garden except for this one tree. That tree belongs to me. Don't touch it. No, he didn't say don't touch it. He said don't eat of it. I think it's Dr. Barclay who said, I believe that the tree, I don't know, one of the great teachers said, I believe that they were to take of the tree, take the fruit off the tree and go offer it to God as their offering to him. Because he didn't say don't touch it. He said don't eat it. But anyways, what's the purpose of tonight? Because that's not my message. The purpose of tonight is to remind us that this verse of scripture says in verse 10 that there may be food in my house. You and I have goes to bring food into our house where we worship. You guys worship here? Naturally, your tithe, as you bring your tithe in and worship the Lord with your tithe here, it makes it so there's food in this house. A lot of people have said down through the years, well, God just send us one rich man that can pay all the bills for us. No, that's not what God wants. God wants every man to worship him with their tithe and offering, whether your tithe is $2 or $2 million.
Everyone receives the reward of that.
Everyone receives the reward, and no one is exempt from the tithe and the offering. No one is. No matter this modern doctrine that says, oh, tithe, whatever you want, however much, wherever you want, and if you want. No, that's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. God is very specific about the tithe. The tithe was before the law. The tithe will be after the whole thing's done. You and I are a tithe to God. No, I didn't say that right. Jesus is the tithe. He was the firstborn among many brethren. God sowed Jesus and got you and me. Seed time and arms. Now watch this. This doctrine is very specific in the Bible. Now, why am I bringing it up? Just to remind all of us that, remember what the Bible says? Verse 10, that there may be food in my house. If you don't take care of your house, how are you going to have food in it? Just think about it. All the organizations today say, well, tithe isn't necessary. You don't have to pay it. How in the world do they pay their bills? And when you help somebody abdicate themselves from an assignment of God, what have you accomplished? Because God's process is when you bring your tithe, then my blessing comes because you're blessing the house. The house is blessed, you're blessed, everybody's blessed, and on we go. And that's how God wants his whole kingdom to be. God don't want a big rich guy to take care of all of us. God wants every one of us to be actively involved in taking care of the house of God. And in so doing, all of us now reap a blessing for caring for the house of God. None of us would go to a restaurant and eat and not pay your bill. Neither should any of us come to the house of God and not bring the supply that house needs. God's system is laid out very accurately, very precisely. And according to the word of God, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And when you and I function in the light and the easy, then everything works. You think about it. God's trying to bring a blessing to every person in that sound of my voice, whether you have a $2 tithe or a $2 million tithe. And may the $2 million tithe get here soon. And may the $2 tithe get here soon. You might say, Pastor, do you ever send a $2 tithe? Yeah. I certainly do. I tithe everything that comes here. Everything. Absolutely everything. Because you're honoring God with your tithe, And as a shepherd, I must honor God with my tithe of this ministry so that the ministry is covered. People forget that God wants to rebuke the devourer for your sake. And people are like, why is my life falling to pieces? Well, you're not a tither. And you're not taking care of the house of God that's feeding you the word of God. So then what does that make you? A thief? That's what God called. Coming to get food, coming to get blessed, coming to get anointing, but you're not taking care of the house of God. And God never abdicates anybody of their responsibility to be a productive, right, a productive member of the society. He doesn't. He's not going to do that. Why? Because you being a productive member of the society is what causes your life to grow and develop and be established in God. Woo! I'm preaching pretty good, and it's not even the message. So, Pastor, you taking an offering? No, I'm not ever going to take an offering. I might receive one. This is the point. In the day we live, there's many ways to give. We have cash. We have Zoe. We have Chloe. We have Uncle Joey. No, that's not right. We have Cash App, and some people give through Messenger. Some people give through
PayPal.
Zoe, Venmo. People give in lots of different ways, whichever one matches your way. And some people actually give through snail mail. If you do, make sure you put my name on the check with COF. Say Samuel J. Cottle, COF, right after it, because that's what this is called. That's our official name. There's a whole lot of people in the world called Community of Faith. I think there was 47 of them when I searched it on Facebook. But there's only one that has Samuel J. Cottle Community of Faith. This is what sets it apart. Somebody's name's got to be on it. That's how that works in Jesus' mighty name. So we encourage you, however you may need. I mean, one guy called me up and said, take account every month automatically. So I'm just going to get it set up that way with my bank. And he called, and we got our numbers and their numbers, and bam, it happens. Just downloads it into the checking account first of every month, just like clockwork. And so we want to be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. I want to read Malachi 3:11 one more time. Now listen to this. There's a lot of people who say, Pastor, get something together and it falls apart.
Yeah.
Are you a tither? Do you, listen to me, do you worship the Lord with your tithe and care for the house where you eat? If you're just spreading your seed all over, how are you ever going to get a harvest? I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. But that's not for everybody. That's for those who tithe. That's for those who bring the food to their house and take care of their house. Can you imagine going and getting money? Going to work, getting money, and then taking care of everybody else's house and not your own? That is not a point of wisdom.
It is not. I like how Dr. Barclay says it, too. The tithe is a law, so someone is going to get your tithe. You can either pay it to God and be blessed, or the enemy will take it from you, and that's when you...
Right.
Yeah, feel like you can't ever get ahead. The minute you do, then something is broken or taken or lost or whatever. And that's the enemy taking the
tithe. See, now I didn't hear what she said. Tithe is a law like gravity. Either you're going to worship the Lord with it or the enemy's going to take it away from you. I think we just traveled 6,000 miles on our trip. I counted it up.
Wow.
That's a lot of miles.
That is a lot of miles.
And we thoroughly expected the tide to work for us all the way through the whole thing. And it did. There's, I mean, can you imagine how much traffic we passed in 6,000 miles?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You know how many nasty roads we drove on in Michigan? Somebody tell the governor to fix the god darn roads.
Wow, yeah. Sunday, I am a tiger, and I give
you a yes. God wants you and me to take care of our place of worship. If you don't take care of your place of worship, then why, in God's eyes, he's going to look at it and say, well, if you don't care about this place, why do I care about what you're giving? I'm changing my message the farther I get into this. I can see it right now. Because I got a couple Missourites here tonight saying, show that to me in the Bible. I'm fixing to show it to you in the Bible. See, God said, bring all the tithes so there's meat in my house. Well, if this is your house, but you're not supplying any meat for it, what, you're going to take your tithe and give it to somebody else?
Nope, the enemy will get it.
See, this whole doctrine of, well, you don't have to tithe anymore. That's a demonic spirit that taught that. Why? Because it wants the church to be broke. America was the strongest right after World War II because everybody came home and was a tither. There was 78% of the people or some number like that considered themselves tithers and paid their tithe. And the tithing rate of the church today, 3% of Americans say they tithe. Is it any wonder that the devourer is working all over this nation?
Oh my goodness,
yeah. If you and I could help every believer learn to tithe in their own local church, God could rescue this whole nation in one weekend.
And would.
He would, because he rebukes the devourer when we get in line with what he tells us to do.
Yeah.
In Jesus' mighty name. Now, here we go. I like verse 12 too. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. But you got to realize, everything that God just said in verses 8 through 12, he said on the other side of the cross. So now when we bring it through on this side of the cross into the new covenant, now we got to look at it and we got to say, wait a minute, what is God saying to us today? The only thing that changed about worshiping God with the tithe is that you are no longer cursed with a curse in the new covenant.
Hallelujah.
However, all of God's kingdom, clear back to the beginning, is based on if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. And if you refuse and rebel, then you'll be destroyed. Go with me real quick. I guess tonight's all of a sudden just turned to, we're going to talk about tithing and giving. I want to talk about two boatloads of fish. Let's just catch this verse and then maybe we'll move on here. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do 17 through 20. Isaiah 1:17-20. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Those are all assignments we're supposed to give ourselves to. Look at 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Do you see that God says that he wants you and I to reason together with him?
Yeah.
Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool if you are willing and obedient. Do you notice that the biggest word in the Bible is the word if?
Yeah, wow.
Because everything in God is based on if. I'm going to do this for you, if you do this part of that. Hey, Brother Michael, See how many times the word if is used in the Bible.
Oh, my goodness.
Search that up on Esau and type it in for us, brother. If you are willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Isn't it something that there's a lot of Christians that's being devoured by the sword because they're not being willing and obedient? And what's the sword they're being devoured by? The Holy Word of God. Why? The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. 1,595 times the word if is used in the Bible.
Wow.
Thank you, man. That's a lot of ifs.
That is a lot.
All right, so now search up the whens. How many whens? Why are you saying this, Pastor? Because what you and I have got to get ourselves into is the reality of what God's word is actually teaching us. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, wow. 1,600 and almost 3,000 wins.
Wow.
Now, I would encourage somebody who is a diligent student of the word to go study all those ifs. I'm going to tell you that if and when would be an amazing study for you to do. But it would take you a while to go through. What's that? That's 28, 38, 43, 4,400 verses. It would take you a while to get through 4,500 verses. 4,500 times that God said if and when. Now, I'm saying something tonight about tithe I don't think I've ever said before. But it's all right because God's the one that's leading us as we study every time by the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at these verses out of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. And we're going to go to the verses 6 through 11. I never saw it. I never put this together, but watch this. Go to the ant, you sluggard. I'm not calling any of you sluggards. Consider her ways and be wise. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long, verse 9, how long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Now God said in Malachi 3, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there might be meat, food in my house. Now naturally in the Old Testament, they came and they brought their tithe to the priest, and that's how the priest actually ate. Well, in all reality, that's how the priest eat today, is by and through the tithe. Now watch this. If you don't take care of your own house, that's not too kindly accustomed to somebody not taking care of their own house. Mm-hmm. And yet many people in the day we live, they say, oh, it ain't no big deal. You don't have to tithe. Just send your money wherever you want to. What spirit is saying that? That's not the spirit of Christ that's building his body and his church. You come to church A and then put your money over here and take care of somebody else. And do not take care of the place where God sent you. Isn't that something? Well, I've just never seen it before. God called him a slugger. And a little sleep, a little slumber, folding of your hands, whatever. I don't have to be a tither. That means you don't have to take care of the house where you belong. And that means God doesn't have to take care of you. Because he said, if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. And everything about our Father is about family and about togetherness and about unity and about the unity of the Spirit and the bond of the peace. And God is the one that puts you in the body where he wants you. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. I'm just seeing it. I'm seeing it like I've never seen it before right now tonight, sitting right here. But I've always been a tither, so to me it's never been any kind of a question. If I want my pastor to have a house where the word of God is full and rich, and I want my pastor to be able to always bring the word of God to me, and if I need help and strength, then I'm going to be the guy that's saying, I'm putting my tithe and my money right into your hand where I'm going to make sure you're taken care of and the house is strong. Yeah. And isn't that something that we would...
You can be available when I need you too.
Wouldn't it be something? We're expecting God to take care of us, but we're saying, I'm not going to come and be a part of what you're doing.
Wow.
I don't know. I've just never seen the revelation of it like this before.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's because I'm a tither. I mean, he said tithe, so I worship the Lord with tithe. Matter of fact, when we send our tithe into Dr. Barclay, I put right in the memo, we worship you, Lord, with our tithe and offering. That's right in the memo.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm not only going to put the money in, I'm going to speak a word with my mouth. Those of you that are tithers and givers here, you know that we always will send you a receipt, or not a receipt, but we send you back a prayer of blessing for your life, because we are believing God that his blessing is coming on you. In the kingdom of God, in the Old Testament, when they brought their tithe, the priest was supposed to bless it and then put a blessing on them.
Yeah. And you bless your own tithe and pray over it when you pay your tithe, when you give your tithe.
Wow.
Because when they would pay or bring their tithe to the tabernacle, and even in the Old Testament, it was a huge process that they went through. It wasn't just a matter of bringing their goat up and dropping it off.
Right.
And they stayed there,
right,
and they did a huge to worship the Lord with that tithe.
And God set that up like that so that you and I could see and know and understand how things are going to be. Mm-hmm. But see, he's very accurate. He's precise and accurate. To the very core, God loves order.
Yeah.
And when we detest order because we're afraid it might quench the spirit only comes when there's great order.
Yeah.
So if inside yourself you have no order, then the Holy Spirit's trying to bring order and blessing to you, but you got everything inside here out of order. You are the spirit. You have a soul. You live in the body. You, the spirit, are in control of the soul and the body. David said, why are you disquieted within me, O my soul? You, the spirit, take control of your soul. Tell it what to think, what to act like, how to feel. Tell it what to go do. And your body, tell your body to be healthy.
Amen.
You are not a body. You have one.
Yes.
You are not a soul. You use your soul to give your spirit something how to control this body. Woo! I'm preaching really good tonight. Look at Proverbs 13:4. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat or made rich. The soul of a lazy man desires. Now, if somebody's called you lazy, it's not me. All right. Isn't that just something?
What?
Now, I know this isn't one of those messages that everybody gets up and runs around the church and says, "Whee!" But wait, it's very simple to understand why. Because God wants you to take care of this body so that as his blessing comes on this body, his blessing comes on you. You do your part, I do my part, we all do our part, and his blessing comes upon us. The more blessing of God that's here, the more we can reach out and touch other people. The more we reach out and touch other people, the more people's lives are changed, the more blessing comes. The more God blesses our work, the more farther we reach, the farther it goes, the more we can help other people. That's God's system. God's system is not, well, let me send a preacher over there. He's going to preach hellfire and brimstone. Hopefully he'll get you saved, you lousy, sorry, sinning Christian humans. See, that man's an angry God.
Yeah.
No, God's building a family. God is building a family. He is the Father, and all of us are his sons and daughters. He has no grandchildren. You have to serve him as a son. You can't get in on anybody else's shirt tail.
Amen.
That's why some people, when their mom or dad die, it messes their life all up. Because that was their avenue into heaven. But it was never your avenue into heaven. God has no grandchildren. God only has children.
Amen.
And you and I are the children of God. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Now, hold on. Let me get back here. I got to get back here. Everybody just hold on.
Sorry.
I'm getting back here now. I'm almost back here. Now I'm back. Proverbs 20. Proverbs chapter 20. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg in harvest and have nothing. The sluggard is someone who does nothing. And God said about him, he will beg in harvest and have nothing.
Be that.
Say it with me. I have a supply.
I have a supply.
I bring it to this body.
I bring it to this body.
I do. And what is your supply? Your supply is faith. Your supply is hope. Your supply is love. Your supply is blessing of the Lord that makes rich and has no sorrow with it. You have a supply, and you're bringing it here to God in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Wow, man, this is just coming alive. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Counsel's available. Wisdom's available. Understanding is available, but you and I got to draw it out. Man, God has given me a revelation tonight about this. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Because for a long time, the church has preached tithe as tithe or go to hell. Well, that church don't make sense.
No.
That ain't God. But then the other church that says, they're in the opposite ditch that says, don't worry, you don't have to tithe. And they usually say that because they don't want people going away because they're preaching about money.
Amen, Sunday. Yes, you do.
But watch this. If we don't talk about money, how do we pay the bills? How is there meat in this house if the bills aren't paid? And who's going to pay for the house if it's not the people that's in the house? You ever notice that nobody else pays your house payment for you?
They don't. By the blessing of the Lord.
Have you ever just taken your bills out and stood by the side street and held them up for people to pay as they drove by? And that just doesn't happen. Now, there's people that are the panhandlers standing on all the corners. They're panhandling people's money.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you what, man. I saw them two guys at McDonald's in Chicago. I was amazed. They were walking right down the inside of the aisle. They were walking down the inside right between the car and the building of the drive-thru,
yeah,
and knocking on your window, literally knocking right on the window saying, give me money. And people will roll down and give you money just to get you off, get out of the car. And that's what these guys have learned. That's a demonic spirit is what that is.
Yeah.
That's a demonic spirit.
Drugs, which is the same.
It's a demonic spirit.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you guys can tell, but I'm getting like major revelation here tonight.
Well, hallelujah.
Proverbs 26. Let's go. Proverbs 26:12. Holy Spirit, you're amazing. And let's go down through 16. Seest thou a man in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. What's that mean? He's wise in his own eyes. You'll be able to recognize him because they'll be like, well, like I always said. And they're more concerned about what they always said than anybody else says ever. You don't ever hear them give credit to anyone else. They're only all about them themselves. There's more hope for him than fool. The slothful man says, there's a lion in the way, a lion in the street, and doesn't do anything about it. As the door turns upon his hinges, so does a slothful man upon his bed. Slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, and it grieves him to even bring it to his mouth. Sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason.
Isn't that something?
Now this is what God is saying through me right now tonight. These people who preach, you don't have to tithe. Don't worry about it. That was Old Testament. They are actually damaging themselves,
yeah,
because they're teaching the people who are supposed to come and by God's design take care of their own house. They're teaching them, don't worry, that's not necessary. But I have to ask you a question. If everybody partaking of the house doesn't take care of it, who's going to take care of it?
Well, they need to thank God for those believers that read the Bible and know what it says and will tithe anyway, even if they tell them don't. They still do because they know.
See, what that turns out to be is socialistic mentality.
Yeah.
Okay. That's socialism. Mm-hmm. And socialism is not of God. It's a doctrine of a man. God never said, I want everybody to pool their money together and we'll all distribute it amongst people. That is not God. That's not Jesus. Jesus didn't teach that. And matter of fact, Jesus taught quite the opposite of that. And so, my goodness sakes alive, I never saw that before as a religious spirit, but that's exactly what it is. It's the spirit of religion causing people to send their money away from what it's going to do to take care of the house. This is definitely need to change the video, the title of the video, because it's not about fishing, it's about tithing.
that is true.
It's a good one, Michael. But listen, let me say this to everybody. I got a really good message about two boatloads of fish. That God gave me a good message on that. But when we sat down here tonight, and as soon as I kicked this camera on, I'm like, all right, I need to say something about tithing tonight. I can tell by the Holy Spirit. But I want you to see something about this. There's a reason that it happens this way. And the reason it happens like this, when a man of God will say, this is our title, and then he shows up and teaches something else, is because of who is active in the reactively receiving, like right now tonight. Now, I don't know who it is that's receiving from this, but I'm sure glad I'm teaching it for you. But this is what I know by the Spirit of God. There's somebody tonight that this is revolutionizing you. And you're like, wait a minute, Pastor. I've never heard anybody say this before. But let me tell you something. The greatest benefit of tithe is you taking care of the house that belongs to you. And because you put something in, you now get something out. I keep hearing God say it, and I haven't said it yet, but I'm probably going to have to say it because he's going to require me to say it. But that's no different than a man who marries a woman and goes having sex with a bunch of other women.
How many times did he call Israel adulterers for doing that very same thing?
And he called Israel adulterers. Because they went whoring after another god. Now, let's get back to light and easy. Like Jesus said, behold, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All right? I got to look up two verses. Somebody find the verse that says, if you don't work, you don't eat. And then we got to find another verse in Corinthians that says, let a man go to work and do his work. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. No. Somebody look up that verse, if you don't work, you don't eat. It's all right, we'll find it. Watch this. I'll share my screen. So everybody can watch me working in eSword. I'm going to click search and work.
This is a good thing to use the eSword on my phone. Now that I'm using it on the computer, it's much different.
There it is. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I found both verses.
Wow.
2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Hey, I beat you. Okay, Michael found Deuteronomy
14:29. Why do I not see none of Michael's comments are coming on?
None of Michael's comments are coming on. He comes on the first night, and they're already deleting his comments. Talk about, but
2 Thessalonians 3.
But that's a good verse. Thank you, brother. I like that. You happened upon a verse that really will be good. Watch this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And let's go. Let's just read 1 through 15. Go ahead, Brother Michael, read it. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith. Have you ever noticed that before, that not all men have faith? I've noticed it. And there are some people that have never noticed it. And they think everyone's got faith, and they think everyone's a blue ribbon sheep. But let me just tell you right now, not everyone in the kingdom is a blue ribbon sheep. Let me say it differently. Not everyone who goes to a church is a blue ribbon sheep. If you truly know your place in the kingdom, you will be a blue ribbon sheep. You'll always be in good shape with God. But here we go. I'm going to keep going. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Verse 4. We have this confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Of course, this is the end of his book, of his letter, so he's closing. But we commend you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. This is Paul talking about what he did. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow it. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. That's verse number 10. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who mock among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but as busybodies.
Wow.
You don't want to be called that by God or the Apostle Paul. Now, those who are such command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness. They work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey in word in this epistle, note that person, do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, I got a word for you. Don't just shun someone. That's not God, and that's not what Paul's teaching. Paul's teaching people that are going to continually go around, and they don't have anything they do, and all they do is make a mess. They're busybodies. But I want you to see the important factor that Paul's talking about right here, and that is this. If a man doesn't work, he should not be eating.
Wow.
Now, let's put that into context right here in our community of faith. If everybody else does everything to take care of it, and you do nothing, your own place. And you wouldn't go into a restaurant and eat of the food without paying the bill. You would be called a thief. Now, I have seen a few times with some biker brothers that somebody thought somebody else grabbed the bill and we left one behind, and the restaurant called and said, hey, what you guys doing? We're like, oh, are you kidding us? And then usually they go back and pay a whole bunch of people's bill. And one guy, we even gave him the nickname of, you know, Walkabout, because he was always walking away and not paying his bill. But wait, I really want you to see this, because this is not a bondage thing. This is not a go to hell thing. And this is not a, you give me money. It's not any of that. This is like, wait a minute, this is your house. Take care of it.
Yeah, it should be a privilege.
I don't know. I'm sure I've heard it preached, and I'm sure I've probably preached it that way before, but I'm seeing it so much new again tonight that people want to come and receive. But you're not going to receive if you're not part. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about the 10% thing because people get freaked about that, right?
Do you know your screen is still shared?
I do not know my screen is still shared.
It is. Well, or it is on mine. I seem to be.
My screen is not shared. You must be like lagging way back in the back.
And it could refresh and see what we. Okay, go ahead.
And Mary said, if you get fed physically or spiritually, pay for your food. Spoken by a lady who owned a restaurant and probably had many bills walked in her lifetime.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Amen? But wait, I want to go back. I want to go back to the simplicity of it. Remember what Jesus said. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, you have a supply here at this ministry. You bring a supply. Now, you bring your tithe and your offering. But that's not the only supply you bring. You bring your love. You bring your faith. You bring your acceptance. You bring a prayer of agreement. And the more people we have in agreement, the more we get accomplished on this earth. Jesus said, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, it'll be done. But when you go to the Old Testament, it says one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. But God doesn't give us that third number. You know why? Because we were the limited God. He didn't give you the third number of the equation because he doesn't want you to limit him.
Yeah. Amen.
He's letting you and I see that the power of agreement. When we stand together in agreement, that power is unstoppable in God. Well, you can see it in you and me. All of us here tonight are in agreement. I don't know. There's probably 15 of us, maybe 20, between all three of the platforms. And we're all in agreement together. But can you imagine how much power there'd be here tonight if there was 20,000 of us in agreement?
Oh, unstoppable.
Or 200,000? You get like Brother Jesse that's got a 500,000 partners that are with him every month? I hear people all the time, well, ain't nobody needs to have that much stuff. Yeah, well, Brother Jesse preaches to 2.5 billion people every week. That's why you need that many partners. Because now everybody's taking care of the house and the house reaches out and reaches the whole world.
And everybody has a part to play.
And everybody has a part to play. Say it with me again. I bring my supply,
to
this body of believers.
To this body of believers.
You do. Now, let's pull it up again. Let's pull it up again here. You ready? Ephesians chapter 4. And then we got to get to that verse that Michael put up. That is not the right app. Let's get this app up. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Not a broken record. Ephesians chapter 4. Now let's go down here. And you should be able to see that on your screen. Are you seeing it?
And my Facebook won't pull it. Oh, let me.
All right. And if you're on Zoom, you can see it. If you're on Facebook, you can see it. If not, read your own Bible. Ephesians.
I can see it.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate that. Some prophets, I mean, Ephesians 4:11 through 16. Some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now watch this. What are we here for? For the perfecting of the saints. That's why I'm here. I'm perfecting you for the work of the ministry. But why is Dr. Barclay in my life but to perfect me for the work of the ministry? I may be a shepherd, but I'm also a sheep because he's my shepherd. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. I like this one. I like it better if I use this. Let's minimize this one and this one, and let's go with this one. Yeah, I really like this one. This makes it bigger and puts it up there in bold letters so we can all see it. There, that's a lot better. But I want you, I mean, just think about this. This is a powerful statement for some people. They're like, you know what, Pastor? I don't seem to be getting the blessing of coming to church like some other people are. Well, are you coming and taking and not giving? Because nobody in the kingdom gets to take and not give. Jesus said, give, and what will happen? And it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Who knows where that's found? Luke 11. Is that what that is? Luke 11? Luke 11, 28. No. Give, and it, Luke 6, 38. Luke 6, 38. Give, and it shall be given. All right. Tonight I usually flow a lot faster than this, but I'm pretty amazed tonight at this revelation that's coming forth. I'm sitting here with a whole new revelation tonight, because the church has said, "Well, you pay your 10% or you're going to hell." Well, that is just not of God. Anybody that preaches a message to you, do this or you're going to hell, walk away from them. They do not know what the Bible is all about. The only thing that you can ever say, do this or you're going to hell, and that is receive Jesus. The rest of the kingdom is growth and development, and nobody should ever wear these clothes or you're going to hell. Do this deal or you're going to hell. Pray, eat this food or you're going to hell. Read this Bible or you're going to hell. Those are all confused people. Don't follow them. Pastor, what if that's my pastor? Well, you might ought to go and say, let's have a conversation about all this going to hell stuff. Wait a minute, because God doesn't lead us by fear.
Amen.
He leads us by faith. He treats you as a child. So what he's teaching us tonight is, wait a minute, this is your house, take care of it. That's exactly what you have to teach a child. This is your house. Take care of it. Clean up your room. Pick up your clothes. Those are your clothes. Hang them on a hanger or they're going to be destroyed. Don't carry your laptop out of the house without a computer bag. Well, I don't have one. Well, go buy one. And now you have one. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But if none of us ever say, this is my place, I'm going to stick to it, and I'm going to make it into what it's going to be, how do you ever have a place? Well, Pastor, I'm going to come here, you preach and teach, and I'm going to learn a lot, but I'm going to go give my money to a poor guy down the street. Well, the church has a ministry to the poor people. bring your money here and take care of the church, then the church can reach out and take care of them and not just give them a hand out, but give them a hand up so they'll no longer be in the condition of having a hand out.
Amen.
It's why many people never get a healing that lasts. It's because they want somebody else to use their faith to get their healing for them. Well, that's okay when you first come to the kingdom, but after a while, you got to learn how to live in health yourself. Because God has no grandchildren. He only has children. When you stand before Jesus, it's not going to be about anybody else except you and him. You can't get in on your mama's actions, your daddy's actions, Uncle Charlie, Aunt Mabel, or your own pastor. I love all y'all, but when it comes to that day, you're going to be standing in front of Jesus. You're going to have to stand there by yourself. So you got to come up. You got to get an understanding of what this Bible is saying. Wait, in a practical knowledge revelation, not just, oh, I heard that message before. Amen. Look at 13. Till we all come, say it with me, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That, everybody say it right out loud, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, if you're always bouncing around and you never put your feet and roots down anywhere, you'll never be able to get filled with the fullness of God. You end up being a newbie. You ever heard the doctrine of newbieism? The doctrine of newbieism is you enjoy being a newbie because everybody makes over you. Oh, it's so good to have you here. Oh, brother, sister, it's so good to have you. Oh, we just love you. It's so awesome to have you. But you don't ever get past newbie. And when that new feeling goes away and now they're looking at you saying, help us make something happen there, you run off to be a newbie somewhere else. You will never have roots. You will never be established. You will never grow strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And the devil will continually kick your side behind. All right, kick your little sheep butt.
Don't get your sheep butt kicked.
Wait a minute. We didn't come together to play patty cake. Patty cake, patty cake, baker's man. Baking the cake as fast as we can. Roll it and scroll it and all that good stuff. This is a revelation from God tonight. Let's see if we can make it two boatloads of fish. Should we do it? Peter, James, and John, and Andrew all had shipping businesses. They were all tithers because they were people that believed in the law. Jewish people believed in law. No, wait. I don't have Peter's personal tithing record, so I'm not making that statement, that I actually saw Peter's tithing record to know that they were tithers. But Jesus showed up that day to call them into the ministry. And there was enough righteousness in them of the things of God that Jesus filled Peter's boat. Some of you are staring at me real funny. So get your Bible open. It'll be all right. Luke chapter 5. Michael told me I was going to have to change my mic real quick. Not sorry, you're stuck with me. We're not stuck with you, Mary. We're glad you're here.
We love you, Mary.
Oh, that's the truth, Michael. It's the truth. Because you go to some of these great men of God who've been at this for 40 years, and they got 10,000, 20,000 people that are streaming, That thing's spinning, man. And people's lives are radically changed. You know what happens? Because there's that many people and they're all putting their time, their talent, their treasure into the kingdom, that kingdom. Then you got a staff of phone people so that every time you're live on the radio, you're live like this, there's somebody answering a phone. So anybody can call like, I need prayer, I need help. And they call and there's somebody live. But see, a phone center costs you money. And you got to have an employee. And that costs you money. Yeah. In the day we live, an employee is going to cost you about $65,000, $70,000 a year. Well, no, it doesn't, Pastor. You don't have to pay people that much. What, you think I'm going to represent Jesus and give you a little devil, do you? I can't do that. I'm a daughter of the King. I'm an overcomer. Keep getting booted, but I'm back. Thank you. Don't let them give you the boots, Mary. Look at this.
Even let me on right now, Mary.
Look at this. Luke 5. And I'm going to read 1 through 11. Go ahead, Brother Michael, read it. So it was as the multitude pressed against him to hear the word of the Lord, he stood by the lake Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake. That's two different shipping businesses. The fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. They weren't bass masters out having a tournament. These are fishing ships. They are ships that go into the, and get fish. When he got into one of the boats with Simon's, he asked him, put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitude from the boat. And when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Jesus said nets. Peter said net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So Peter signaled to the partners in their other boat, and they came to help him, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. A boat load of fish sinking the ships. Why? Because when Jesus said throw in the nets, every fish in the Sea of Galilee wanted to get in there to honor the master. Mm-hmm. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet and said, or knees, because he couldn't reach his feet because it was full of fish. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. See, when it says all who were with him, that shows you it wasn't just Peter and Jesus rowing around in a rowboat. You don't say all who were with him unless there was a number of people in that ship with him.
Right. Right.
And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, not be afraid, from now on you will catch men. So when they brought their boats to the land, they forsook and all followed him. Now, how are you going to tie this into tithing, Pastor? Well, I'm going to tie it in this way. Something about Peter and Andrew's boat saw Jesus come and say, I'm going to get in it and I'm going to bless these men. And then he called them into the ministry. But they left their boats, but the boats did not just sit on the shore and do nothing. Because when you go to the book of John, Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. And off they went to go fishing. Now, I'm going to preach a whole message on this, but right now, I'm just going to refer to it. John 21, verse 3. And John 21, 3 through 11. And watch this. I encourage you, if you've not fasted lately, to fast with us. If you have not fasted lately, fast with us. I'm going to be fasting for the next 2 days. I fasted all day today, and I'm going to fast the next 2 days. I'm doing a water fast. And I don't know, I might end up doing 10 days. I'm on a serious attack against the enemy. And no, I'm on a serious grow and develop in God, which automatically crushes the enemy in your life when you grow and develop in God. And if you've never done a three-day no-food fast, I would encourage you to do it. Every one of you. Bored in your system to make it through 3 days. It's just your mind that says, I'm going to die if I don't eat for the next 3 days. You won't die. And you guys watched us. We are examples. We fasted 40 days with no food.
And Kathy's already 4 days into it.
Kathy's 4 days into her fast. So I encourage you, if you've not fasted, I encourage you to do so. And give your time fasting that you would normally eat to God. Now, you might say, Pastor, I can't give up all my food. Well, give up all your boxed food. Give up all your sweets. Just give up your box food, things that you make out of a box, and give up all your sugars. And you'll be on a serious fast.
Yeah.
And you'll see a difference in your body physically, but it'll also grow you and develop you spiritually. I was thinking about it, but I hadn't put any thought to it. But as soon as we got home, I'm like, no, I'm fasting. I done ate way too much in the last 2 weeks of my life. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying the food that you eat and good people cooking for you. Sister Francetta was a wonderful hostess. She fed us well. She took very good care of us. We had a good place to sleep, do our clothes, take a shower, and do everything. And I encourage you, I truly encourage you to reach out. Some of you have never fasted technology. That would be a serious stretch for some of you. Fast everything on technology except make sure you come to the program and be with us. Let's read what this says. John chapter 21, verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. When the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they said, no. And he said to them, cast the nets on the other side of the ship. And they did it. That's what's interesting. They pulled the net up, cast it on the other side of the ship, and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. He didn't walk on the water this day. He jumped right into the sea. Off he went. I'm in John chapter 21, verses 3 through 11, Roger. And the verse before that was Luke 5, 1 through 11.
Sunday says, I'll fast with you, no sweets or box food.
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Join with us. Let's go to the next level in God. I want anybody that's fasted, pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, help us get to the next level in you in this ministry. I want to reach every age group. I want us to reach every special interest group. I want what we've done to be a mighty weapon in God's hand against our enemy. Because what you and I have paid the price for is extremely valuable to the whole world. And we can teach a lot of people to do what we're doing. And I believe every pastor ought to be doing this right here, what I'm doing right now.
Amen.
Or you're going to go to hell. That sounds... Where am I at?
Verse
8, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the whole net of fish. As soon as they'd come to land, they saw fire coals there, fish laid on it, bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there was many, the net was not breaking. Isn't it something that that's in the story?
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. John 21, 3 through 11. And watch this. I got to finish this message, but our message for tonight is very, very simple. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food or meat in my house. It would be wrong for me to expect Dr. Barclay to answer the phone for me and answer any question I have and help me in the ministry if I never so do his ministry. I mean, it's just that simple. And that's why God said that there might be meat in my house. Who do you think's going to take care of your house for you if you're out giving your money somewhere else? Well, but Pastor, the poor and needy need God. I know they need, but the problem with them is they're poor and needy because they don't know how to reach God. And if we don't have a house where they can come find God and learn how to need and know God, then you got to keep giving them a handout rather than giving them a hand up. Handouts never work. Hand ups work. But a hand up says, let me show you what I know so you don't have to be where you are another day. The kingdom is a hand up. I've got to teach you to say, thy kingdom come to this earth in my life as it is in heaven. This is a good word tonight.
Yeah.
This is a really good word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this word. See, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, is what Jesus said. Jesus isn't asking everybody to give everything you got, so take it out. You're not the rich young ruler. Sell all you have and give it to me and live in a tent out in the woods. That's not Jesus in it. You can't make Jesus say those words because he never said it. To the rich young ruler, he said it one time. I'm back in Malachi chapter 3. Let's read it one more time and let the Bible say what the Bible says. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Malachi 3, 8 through 12, yeah. Isn't that something? 3, 8 through 12. I'm going to read it to you out of the Passion Translation.
Oh, that'll be good.
All right. Will a man rob God? For you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In the tithe and offering. They're having a conversation with God. You have been cursed with the curse, yet you keep robbing me, this whole nation. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Then there will be food in my house. Now that you have done that, test me in this, says Adonai Zveah. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, no, I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you until there's no room to receive it, until no one is without enough. Look at this. I will rebuke the devouring pest for you so it will not destroy the fruit of your land. Nor will your vine be barren in the field, Adonai Zveat says. All the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight. The Holy Spirit said to the children of Israel, he said, I want my house to be blessed and taken care of. If you think about what that's, what he's doing, God's building a family, and every family has to have a house. Now watch.
Yeah, amen, Mary, Jesus.
So, who takes care of the house? The people who live in it. That there might be meat in my house. Well, the priest, Brother Michael, took us there, and we don't have time. That was Deuteronomy 14:29. Actually, it's 27 through 29. Actually, let's write this references. Deuteronomy 14:22 through 29. Now, Deuteronomy 14:22 through 29. Now watch this. God tonight led us here on purpose, because I can tell there's people here tonight that this is helping you. Some of you have said, I can't give 10%. I know. There ain't a person that's ever tithed that at one point or another looked at that and said, wow, that's, even if it was the first time. And then you just simply trusted God afterwards. But the reality, that 10% belongs to God. And when you bring it back and offer it to him in worship, he blesses that beyond anything you can ever imagine. He rebukes the devourer. Your seed will get in the ground. Your seed will grow. And you will not lose your crop in the field. He rebukes the devourer. All the nations will call you blessed. And most of all, there's food in the house of God. God asks you to bring the tithe there and give it and bring it and worship him with it at the church. And then he turns around and spends it on you. So you got good teaching. So all you're really doing is taking care of your own house. And the more of us there are, the better we take care of it. So let me say it again. When you guys, anyone who sends tithe or offering here, we tithe every penny of it to Dr. Barclay. Why? Because I'm going to tithe on your tithe. Now, your tithe is double tithe, and when it gets to pastor, it's triple tithe. And that means the devourer is severely rebuked off of your tithe.
Hallelujah.
And in your life. And you'll begin to notice that you'll be like, wow, things are just really starting to move for me, and they're happening.
Yes.
Honoring God and doing the principle that he gave you, which is to establish his house, that there might be meat in my house. I got to take care of my house. I mean, we could talk to Sister Mary Pastorick. Mary, did you ever keep a running total of how much money people walked on you? I mean, I guess after a while, a restaurant would just not even worry about it after a while. Because how are you going to chase somebody? You know, and it's just wrong. If you eat, then pay for it. And you know what's cool? I'm not passing the offering bucket.
There you go, amen.
If God has spoken to you tonight, sow the seed. If he's told you to tithe, tithe. If he's told you to sow a seed, then sow the seed. Why? Because when you're willing and obedient to do what he tells you to do, then you get to eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, then you're devoured by the sword. What sword, Pastor? This one. I'm going to find a way to silence that lady. Why, I think I just figured it out. Anyways, let's pray. Father, thank you for this good word tonight. Thank you that you've set this system up so perfectly. to care for the kingdom of God. Our tithe, and then our offering. And like the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians church, you said that you were going to take care of these other people that were in great poverty because of famine. And you said that I'm going to make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things have an exceeding abundance to every good work. Because your kingdom is seed time harvest. As long as this remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Everything about you is seed time and harvest. You sowed Jesus as a seed into the world, and you're reaping all of us as a harvest. Thank you. Father, may we take the go to hell language out of our preaching and teaching. And may we just help people grow and develop in God.
Amen.
And be simply established in the kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, that you showed us early on to send a blessing to every person that ever tithed or sows a seed here. Oh, you're wonderful, Jesus. Father, all of those that you have shown to be tithers and givers, we call them to this. And so we are the way you're supposed to be in. And we bless your life and your business and your courage and your confidence and your understanding of the Word of God. And you just simply do it. Father, bless every person that's stepping out and stretching out and saying, I'm going to do this and I'm doing it right now. Bless them. That there might be food in this house. Lord, bless Dr. Barclay for his leadership in an apostolic manner over us. Thank you that he rebukes, that he blesses the tithe when he receives. Always just simply trust you, God our Father. And yes, we want 100 people. We want 1,000 people. We want to reach 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000. We do. Before you come, we want to reach 1,000,000,000 people. Because you've given us a good word. Help us come together. Grab a hold of the rope and all pull together. And see thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on this earth. As it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Well, let's receive our communion elements together. Now, we have a very specific process that we use here. God gave us this process at the very beginning when we first started to do this ministry back in 2020 during COVID. During the pandemic. Back in those days, we would teach for 3 or 4 hours every night. And we would receive communion twice, once at the beginning and once at the end, because people's schedules were different. And then, you know, we got back. Everybody was moving like we are now. And so we no longer receive it twice. But I encourage you, I'm going to read the word. We're going to lead you in the prayer of salvation so that everybody that's with us tonight has the opportunity to be right with God. Then we're going to give you about a 1 minute teaching on it. And then we're going to receive the communion elements at the end and we'll sing our song and bless you and we'll be done. And we'll get all that done in about 8 minutes.
Did you have it timed early?
I was seeing if there was a laugh or a shudder. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he gave thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is take my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup. Now, you might not have grape juice. A lot of people don't carry that with them. But water into wine, so get you some water. And then I encourage you, get one of them big 32-ounce bottles of grape juice from Walmart or Myers, whatever you got. Piggly Wiggly, Hub. Ready? Verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. His redemptive work until he comes. Self, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's the answer. Examine yourself. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. God's perfect love is perfected amongst us, you and me, in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why is that? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love. Cast out fear. And there is no fear in love. In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
And we cast out the fear from Dane and Joey and every other person that's been named, that, and Brother Roger's nephew, that have been named under autism. We have bound the fear, and we declare they sleep peacefully at night. Their bodies are free from the spirit of infirmity, and they now can walk free and peaceably from it. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. If you're still here with us at this point, you're here because you're watching and you're wanting to grow and learn. Maybe you've always wanted to receive communion and never have. We have wonderful stories of people that have received the first communion of their whole life right here on this program. Thank God for that. Ready? Pray this prayer with me, and you'll be right with God in the next 60 seconds. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
and
life.
And I will not perish. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again just for me. Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
All of your love, all of your mercy, all of your grace, all of your righteousness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So I live in power. Understand the word of God. Pray in my heavenly language and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen.
Now you might say, wow, Pastor, I can tell something's going on inside of me. Yeah. A lot of people say it's the best high they've ever had. Usually them are people that have had something to give them a high before. But I'm going to tell you, it's an experience like you've never had before. Why? Because light just filled you. Jesus is the light of the world, and you told him to come in, so light filled your being. You said, I receive you into my life. All of your love filled you. All of his mercy filled you. All of his grace filled you. All of his righteousness just filled your being. You're like, Pastor, I didn't do anything. And I know that's the power of it. You receive it. And that's what God wants from you and I, is to just receive the work he's already done.
Amen.
How amazingly awesome is that? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful and wonderful. Now, the Father looked at Jesus and said, adopt him into the family. And you are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You are literally an heir of God. Oh, we're back in Williston. The sirens are running again. Don't worry about it. I'm just home. And it's good to be home sitting in my own chair. Amen. Now, they got my email address and website in there. Send me an email. Say, Pastor, I prayed the prayer. I want to walk with God. Send me some verses. Send me some videos. Help me know what to do, and I'll help you do that in Jesus' mighty name. That's my place. Come back and be with us right now, same time, every night. We're here doing the same thing. We always have communion, and we're going to be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. You didn't get religion. You didn't get a church. You've been reconciled to the Father, and now you have a perfect relationship with him. Begin to talk to him just like he's your dad. It won't be long. May not be right away, but it won't be long. And you'll be having a conversation with the Father. And it'll be a wonderful conversation every day. Hold up your elements. We'll bless them and we'll receive them. Here we go. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were
for my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
By your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying. In my body.
In my body.
From your body, Lord.
From your body, Lord.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Lord. For your wonderful love and mercy and grace that you endured the cross, despising the shame, and are set down at the right hand of the majesty of God. And now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin is placed in remission.
Every sin is placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
and my that I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
All things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace. Where I find grace, mercy, and help. For my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus. And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged. My robes are made white.
And I will always be
the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Let's receive his blood. Glory be to the Lamb of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, let's sing our song that we like to sing so much. Sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, how I love you, the bongos are back. I got a little rusty though. Exactly what that is, and I have missed my bongos for a whole month now. Well, I don't know, Brother Michael, I don't know whether I'm going to change the title or not, but we might just put into the notes one of the greatest messages we've ever heard on tithing. I just honestly, I don't know that I've ever seen it that way before. As the simple process of, wait a minute, this is your house. Why wouldn't you take care of it? And according to God's plan, that's how you take care of it.
Yeah.
He gives you, and you bring it, and he blesses you for bringing it to take care of the house that's going to take care of you. Now, that's about the best plan you could ever have.
It is. That is a great miracle.
He gives seed to the sower that you didn't have, and then he blesses the seed you sow. And he multiplies the seed you sow and increases the fruits of your righteousness because you sow into the kingdom.
And rebukes the devourer.
Now, why would anybody ever look at that and say, well, that's not for today? Yeah. Well, no, that's because you're listening to a demonic spirit of religion. So that the money goes away from the church rather than going into the church, because the church is what's going to crush that enemy's head. Mm-hmm. Woo! I just re-preached the whole message and it's not even time to. However, I am not going to stay on long tonight because I still got to go do some stuff. But I'm going to tell you what. Oh, that month was screaming by. I would put the topic as fishing through tithing and faith or something like this. Come on. We used to do that every time we was here.
Yeah, we
used to say, everybody put a title on tonight's message. Everybody just do it. Type in the title of what you think tonight's message should be called.
Yeah, that is funny because we used to do that all the time.
Fishing through tithing and faith.
Giving to God.
Giving
there,
to God.
That's a good one too. Yeah.
That's good. I like it. I'm just sitting here pausing, let everybody type something in. Fishing through salvation. Come on, this is what it's good to do this, because it's what helps you take what you just got and then work it into your own life. That's what we're supposed to do. Giving to God. Thank you. Fishing through salvation. I like it. I have a whole message on two boatloads of fish. But I had to go ahead and get them in there. But the reality is, these guys were men that walked with God. Mm-hmm. They were very religious. They all knew the Messiah was coming. You know, that whole process. And pay for your food.
There you go.
Guess who typed that one in?
Mary,
Pastor Rick. The lady that owned a restaurant. Mary, we did not get to your house when we was in Michigan, and I won't hold it against you, but the next time we're there, I'm going to come and have you cook for me for a week. Fancetta fattened me up like I was a hog for the slaughter.
Huh.
All right, well, thanks, guys, for being here. This morning, we started with Brother Dutch Sheets. And Brother Dan and I are learning how to use Zoom on a remote computer so that we can, that just gives us so much more ability to function and do some other things at work. So it was on Zoom only this morning, but I'm working on that to figure out how to make it so that it'll work. But it was a very good lesson. We learned a lot. And I think between last night and this morning, we pretty much got this mastered how we're going to be able to make it work. And, you know, we can just encourage you to be there. And tomorrow is Wednesday, so we will be praying for the body of Christ around the world. Welcome you to be there with us in Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
So until we see you again, which will be in a couple minutes for the
Read the Word,
or tomorrow at noon. Or somewhere online, or if Jesus comes back, here, there, or in the air.
In the air. We'll see you in the air. We'll meet you.
Check with me first. I may have to move if I can't run faster than the wolf. I rebuke the wolf. I shoot it, and I say the abundance of God has come upon you.
Amen.
Stay where you are. In Jesus' mighty name. May any wolf trying to eat Mary lose all of its teeth.
Amen.
And just gum her good. All right, well, Sister Phyllis isn't with us tonight, but I'm going to read the scripture in honor of Sister Phyllis, because we love Phyllis. Phyllis, I know you listen to this a little later on, and so just keep listening. shoot, I'll dig the hole. Verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Father, we bless the lives of every person that's with us tonight. We bless John Raymond to win in this battle. May all these people come out that have come out against him fall on their face swiftly because of what you're doing, Jesus, in that situation. We bless our brothers. Bless Brother Al, healing in his body. We speak over Kathy and Mary, health and strength to you, complete total healing from any form of a stroke. We declare over every one of you that's got money, may money come to your pocket now. And most of all, may you sow your seed because God is faithful. Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' mighty name. All right, got to run. Are you blessed in Jesus?